So we're here. It's the start of the Sabbath. God blessed us and told us to come together on the Sabbath day. And tonight we're going to examine some of the scriptures. We're going to follow a pattern like we did the first day. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures that are very familiar with us about the Sabbath. And we're going to examine those and see the things that it tells us to do and to remember. And we're going to remember the Sabbath and welcome it in as a group, as a family, welcoming a meal with our Father. So that's why we're here tonight. We're going to start actually at the beginning of the book. So in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. God saw that light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was evening, and there was morning, one day." So the first day of creation, God created the earth, and it was formless and void and dark. And he saw that the first thing we needed was light. Now, the first day we talked about the light and who the light was and who the true light was. We needed light. So he created light and he called it good. And so it separated the light from the darkness. And we had day one. We're going to skip down to verse 14 next and go to day four. It says, "Then God said, 'Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth.' And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night and to separate the light from the darkness. God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, a fourth day." In the beginning of that section, it talks about creating the lights, the separate lights, the light for the day and the light for the night, so that we would have them as signs and for seasons and for days and years, so that we'd put our time in motion. Now, that word that gets translated for seasons here, moedim, is actually appointments. Appointments. It gets confusing when we see seasons because we really don't get the full meaning of what God was putting in motion here. On day four, he was creating a timetable, a way that we would know when he had some appointments. And in order to see what those appointments are, we can go to Leviticus 23, which we often do during the feast days. In verse 1, it says, "The Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the sons of Israel, saying to them, The Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, my appointed times are these.'" Appointed times, same word, moedim. These are God's appointed times. And he says that they were supposed to proclaim them and have holy convocations. And that's why we're here tonight, to kick off the Sabbath. Continues on verse 3, it says, "For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the appointed times of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the times appointed for them." So God set appointments. And the first of the appointments he created in the beginning of creation, and he sets it here, and he says 6 days. The first one is his Sabbath. So we're actually on a Sabbath within another appointment, which is his Feast of Tabernacles. It's really a kind of a double banger, right? We get two things in one. So we have a Sabbath day in the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles. His appointment with us. I like to call it date night. Because it's every week. And it's God saying he wants to have that time with us. It is a time he has set aside. On day four, he created the sun and the moon so we would know when these appointments are. And Leviticus tells us the first one of them is his Sabbath. We go down to verse 23, and it tells us that, or 23 is trumpets, down farther in the chapter, and he tells us Feast of Tabernacles is another. So here we are, in the middle of an appointment with another appointment. Let's go back to Genesis. Because then God said, let the earth, in verse 24, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind and the cattle after their kind and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. This is after he actually put the appointments in play. So God knew before he even created us that he wanted to have time to spend with us. Time that was specially set aside to meet with us and us to meet with him, those date nights, even before he created mankind. Mankind in his image. So that's how important his appointments are and how special they are, because he thought of them and put them in play even before he created mankind. When you think about that, you think about what God was really trying to tell us. We're important to him. And he wants time with us. We'll continue on in verse 28. It says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, and it shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw that all he had made, and behold, it was very good. There was evening and morning the sixth day. So God created everything that we see, all the plants, all the earth, all the animals, all the birds, all the fish in the sea, and he put man in place. He had already created his appointments and set them in schedule. And he says, I'm going to have appointments with mankind. And he says, it's very good. In other words, he was well pleased. And then it continues on in chapter 2, verse 1. He says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed, all the work, their hosts. And by the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Now when we think about what's being said here, God took the day off. He rested from his work. It didn't say he wasn't doing something, but it said he rested from his work, from his creation work. He took the day off. He blessed that day. He had just created man. He had just given man dominion over all the things that he created. And then he said, I'm going to take a day off. I'm going to rest. That word rest is Shabbaton. And it really means special holiday. If we look at the full meaning, God created a special holiday after giving man all the things that he created and said, you have dominion over him. He created the cycles of things, and then he created a special holiday. Again, that date night, I think. A date night that we could have with him so that we could convene with him week by week, day by day. So God rested. And when we really think about this, does God get tired? Is that the reason that he had to? I don't think so. He doesn't get tired, but he wanted to show how important this was to him. It was his example to us of what he wanted. Because obviously he wasn't tired. He could have kept creating things. And this was so important to them that in Exodus 20, where we have the Ten Commandments, which is a summary that all his laws and all his character and everything comes out of, he summarizes it down into 10 words. 10 words, so we can have it very simply. He tells us in the middle of it, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord, your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days God, the Lord, made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. See, he's telling us that he rested. Let's remember what he did. Remember his creation. Remember what he put in play. What did he create over those first 6 days? And then he says, take the seventh day off. Take the seventh day and think and contemplate about those things. We had pictures that were scrolling while you guys were came in of God's creation and the wonders of it. It's an amazing creation. There were two pictures of some wild animals in there. I don't know if you caught them, but if you didn't, we'll put them back on later. Blaine and Daniel, take special note. So anyway, just a side joke, but anyway, God created this and set it aside because it was special. It was for us. And he says, remember those things that I have done and that he made it holy. It's a Sabbath to the Lord. It's not a Sabbath to us. It's a Sabbath to the Lord. And he puts it right there in the middle of his Ten Commandments, his 10 words, his short summary of what his character is and what he was wanting to desire that our character would become. So he lists it here in Exodus. Let's go to Deuteronomy next. Deuteronomy 5, verse 12. It says, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. It is in it you shall do no any work, shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you, so that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. So here there's some more stuff that's added, you know, that we're all on an equal plane. And in this day, we think about not only the things that God created and gave mankind, but we're also to think about where we came from and how he's redeemed us and how he's saved us. Ancient Israel, he pulled them out of Egypt. We all live in an Egypt. We all live in a world that doesn't worship him, a world that by large doesn't even know him. And yet God says that one of the things that he created that date night for was so we could spend time knowing him and remembering the things that he's done in our lives. And how much more so when we're here at the feast and we're counting our blessings and we're spending time with one another and we're actually sharing of the bounty of our year, that we should take some time out to reflect and look back and say, yeah, we've been truly blessed. God has been working in our lives. God has brought us to where we are today. God has preserved our lives. He's intervened in our lives. And if we spent the time week by week to think about those things that he's done over just even the past week and seen what they were and remembered them and recall them, well, that's one of the things he says to take the time out to do. Not only remember all the things that he created in this earth, but how he's actually worked and created in our lives, created in the things that we have and the things that we do. The Sabbath is a gift from God. He gives it to us as a day of rest, and he prescribes us that you must do it. And why? So you can spend time thinking about him and the things that he's done in creation, the things that he's done in our lives, And what are we doing? We're actually building a relationship with Him. We're spending time with Him, taking that time out from our week, of our daily labors, and saying, yes, He's involved in my life. I am truly blessed because of what He's done. I am truly blessed in the things that He's given me. So it is a memorial of God's act of creation, and it's also a memorial of God's act of redemption in our lives. Continuing on, let's go to Exodus 31 next. Exodus 31, verse 12. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, but as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths as a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Therefore, you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For everyone who does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath, to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations, a perpetual covenant. It shall be a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in the days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, but on the seventh day He ceased from labor and was refreshed. The Sabbath was given as a sign to ancient Israel. It's also a sign to us today, because the rest of the world is out there chasing the almighty dollar, the almighty power, whatever thing that they put in front of them, and they chase it 7 days a week. And we may be out there working hard 6 days a week, because we are commanded to work 6 days a week. And so we work and we work and we work. But we worship and follow a true God. And the true God says, I'm going to bless you with a day off. A day when you're not pursuing those worldly things. A day that makes you different from the rest of the world. It shows that you're my people. That you're striving to follow me. And the world's going to notice that. Because the world is going to be out working and doing those things, trying to build their homes, trying to build their pocketbooks, their bank accounts, trying to build their positions of power. And we take that time off to recognize that we know who our strength comes from, who our power comes from, and build a relationship with that person. And so it is a visible sign to the world of who we actually serve. It's a visual sign of who we actually follow. And not only that, in these scriptures here, we see that God says there's curses that do come if we don't do it His way. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to bless us. He wants to give us those good things. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. And if we don't want it, we can go the ways of the world. Ancient Israel here was told to put people to death if they weren't keeping the Sabbath. Well, if we don't have a relationship with our Father, if we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's eternal death that will result. That's something that none of us want. In order to have life in the kingdom, life in the millennium, we need to be following God and have a relationship, keeping His date night every week. Every week that we could spend time with Him, we can rejoice. We can contemplate on Him and what He's done, what He's created, and what He's done in our lives. It is a personal thing. He says it's that sign. It's a personal nature, and it should be holy. He says it's holy, and we should make it holy and keep it holy. In Isaiah chapter 56, starting in verse 1, it says, thus says the Lord, preserve justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed. How blessed is the man who does this and the son of man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, to them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial, a name better than that of the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. Also, the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples. The Lord God who gathers and disperses of Israel declares, yet others I will gather to them, to those already gathered. God is telling us here in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, the blessings of Sabbath apply to all men and to all peoples. It wasn't just a thing that was for ancient Israel, that anyone could come and partake of that true blessing that he's put out there for us, to observe the Sabbaths, to observe his Sabbaths and to keep from profaning them. And that blessing would come. It didn't matter if you were a foreigner, if you were a eunuch, whatever your lot in life was, it doesn't matter. God says if you come to him and you want to spend time with him, if you reach out for him, you keep his Sabbaths and his holy things holy, that he will bless you and make you holy as well. That's powerful. Because too often we look and we say the Old Testament is that old thing. And yet in his Old Testament he says this is a blessing for all people of all time, of all makes and models, we would say. Doesn't matter our country. It doesn't matter our heritage. It doesn't matter. If we come and seek God and take his things that he provides, such as the Sabbath, and call them holy, call them a blessing, he pulls us in and will bless us through those. It is truly a blessing if we can keep it and keep from profaning it. Isaiah 66, verse 18, says, for I know their works and their thoughts. The time is coming to gather all nations and tongues. They shall come to see my glory. I will set a sign among them and will send survivors from them to the nations. Tarshish, Put, Lud, Meshech, Tubal, and Javan, to the distant coastlands. They have neither heard my fame nor seen my glory, and they will declare my glory among the nations. Then they shall bring all your brethren from all the nations as a grain offering to the Lord, on horses, in chariots, in litters, on mules, and on camels, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord, just as the sons of Israel bring in their grain offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord. I will also take some of them for priests and for Levites, says the Lord. For just as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, will endure before me, declares the Lord, so your offspring and your name will endure. And it shall be from new moon to new moon and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all mankind will come to bow down before me, says the Lord. An enduring promise. Enduring promise. A promise that's not going to end even with the new heavens and the new earth. A promise that lasts. Something that we could never guarantee. There's only one that could. And we have nothing to do with it. It's his gift. The Sabbath is a gift. The Sabbath is one of those things that's a sign. It shows that our relationship. It helps us build that relationship. And in that, we become his people that he'll preserve. And he'll bring us to his kingdom from all the corners of the earth. It'll be as those first fruits of the harvest are gathered in and collected, that our names will endure forever in him. That we will endure forever in him. These are quite the astounding promises. And as we think and look at these things, one of the things that always comes to mind and always helps to give us balance is when we go to the New Testament and see and ask, how did Christ do this? How did Christ keep the Sabbath? What did he do on the Sabbath? What are those things, and how did he explain and exemplify what the Sabbath was all about? So we're going to look at some of those next. In Matthew chapter 12, we start in verse 1. It says, in that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain to eat. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, look, your disciples do what is not lawful on the Sabbath. But he said to them, have you not read what David did when he became hungry, he and his companions? How he entered the house of God, and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priests alone. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. But if you had not known what this means, I desire compassion and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Christ was telling us something here. Man had created a bunch of different laws, different ways of preventing them from breaking and profaning the Sabbath. But they were just that. They were man's laws, and they forgot compassion. They forgot what everything was about. The Sabbath's about a relationship with the Father and the Son. It's not about a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's not about a bunch of man's laws. It's about an opportunity to take a break and have a date night with somebody special. And he had thought of that at creation before he even created us. And he wanted that special time. And he set the example by resting. And that was actually an act that is one of the first acts that we can duplicate. And we can duplicate in this life. We can become like God and rest on his Sabbath day. Because after all, we are becoming in his image and in his likeness. Because that's what he said he was creating. And yet man had put these things there. And man had put these things in, to perfect from profaning it, but they never kept it. They never kept a relationship. They never kept that time where they could contemplate and think and pray and spend extra time. We could spend extra time in fellowship with his other people and other family members. And especially this week, we are truly blessed because we've been spending it all week, and now we get to take another day and specifically focus on those things that he's done for us. Wow. That's pretty special. And in the end of this, he says, he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Not us, not man. He put it in motion, and he is that Lord. Christ is Lord of it. This enduring thing, he's in charge of. He's in charge of. Continuing on in verse 9, it says, departing from there, he went into their synagogue, and there was a man whose hand was withered, and they questioned Jesus, asking, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? So that they might accuse him. And he said to them, what man is there among you who has sheep, and if it falls into the pit on the Sabbath, he will not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and it was restored to normal, like the other. And the Pharisees went out and conspired against him as to how they might destroy him. Yeah, he's not following man's laws, man's traditions. And he just got done telling them, you forgot the compassion. But yet you're compassionate enough that if you have a sheep that falls in the ditch, you'll get them out. You'll get them out of that pit. But a man you have no compassion for. Something's amiss. Something's amiss. So he clearly tells them, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is about good. It is about good. It's about a relationship. It's about building relationships. Relationships with the Son and the Father. and also with one another. And it's about having compassion for one another. It's about having love for one another, true love for one another. It's a day that we don't profane. It's a day that we aren't seeking after worldly gain. But are we seeking after godly relationships? Are we developing compassion? Those are the things that Christ was concerned about here in this these relationships he was taking with the Pharisees and such. And they were so offended, they sought to kill him. Because they weren't following, Christ and his disciples were not following their rules. And they were performing acts of work according to their history, which at this time they actually had 39 types of work that were totally banned and you couldn't do on the Sabbath day. And Christ was saying, let's get back to basics. Let's get back to the basics. And let's see what you should be doing and what your heart should be about. Let's look at another example of the same thing that was recorded in Mark. In chapter 2, verse 23, it says, "And it happened that he was passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples began to make their way along while picking the heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying, 'Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?' And he said to them, 'Have you never read what David did when was he in need, and he and his companions became hungry, and how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priest. And he also gave it to those who were with him.' And Jesus said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath.'" An interesting addition here, because he says the Sabbath was made for man. And remember, we go way back in the beginning, and on day four, he set up his appointments. And then he created man, and then he created the Sabbath. And now he's telling us the Sabbath was made for man. That's the purpose of the Sabbath, was for man. The Sabbath is about us. Again, that date night. He wanted to spend time with us and us to have us spend time with him. So he gave us the appointment and created a day every week. And it even happens during his high times. And that's why we're still doing a Sabbath during the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles, when he's already called us to his appointments. Because he created that for us. The Sabbath was made for us to give us rest, to give us rejoicing, to help us have a relationship with him and each other. It was a gift, a blessing. It's lawful to do good on the Sabbath, he tells us. It's so that we can learn compassion, he tells us. It's a gift. We can learn of his character. It was made for us, not us for it. And he was Lord of the Sabbath. He had the right to tell us how to keep the Sabbath, how to tell us that we were keeping it wrong as mankind. He had the qualifications. And we'll look at a few of those qualifications now. John chapter 1, verse 1. Scripture is very familiar with us. It says, "In the beginning was the Word." Remember, we started this whole thing by reading Genesis. And it says, "In the beginning." So we're all the way back to Genesis, but we're in John. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Those that are in dark don't comprehend what this is all about. Those that are in the dark don't comprehend that Christ is what it's all about. And he was there in the beginning, though. And he's telling us here, this is some of his qualifications. So he was there, and he created everything. And he created the Sabbath, and he created it for man. Doesn't he have dominion over the Sabbath? Isn't the Sabbath about him? And he gave it as a blessing to us. And he does have a right to rule over because he created it. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, and then verse 10. It says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Through him also he made the world, and he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. And you, verse 10, and you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. So Christ, in creating the heavens and the earth, he was just reflecting the Father. He was doing the Father's work. He was doing the Father's will. He didn't do it on his own. He was reflecting that. In all the things that he created, he was representing the glory of the Father. And part of that creation, again, on day six was man. And on day seven, it was the first date night. The first time when he was starting to build that relationship and saying, take the time out, spend it with me. And that was the will of the Father that Christ was doing. It was the will that he had because he was what? What did they do? They were making man in the image of God so he could be part of his family. And then giving a day every week to refocus, to recenter, to re-put the priorities in place. And he has the authority to do so because he created it all. Let's go back to Mark chapter 3. And again, we read a different version of this, but in Mark 3, verse 1, he entered again into a synagogue. A man was there whose hand was withered, and they were watching to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath, so they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come forward. And he said to them, Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill it? How often do we ask ourselves that particular question? But they kept silent. See, they didn't have an answer. It's kind of a trick question, really, because they knew what the law was about. They knew what God was about. God wanted a relationship. He wants us to all to have eternal life. That's what he wants. It's for all mankind, all peoples. And what he created and put in place was for all peoples. We've already read that. All peoples of all times, of all nationalities, of all backgrounds. And so now he's saying, okay, there's this poor man here with a withered hand. And he asked them to make the choice. And they just remained silent. I often think about that, and I think about things that present themselves to us. Are we like the Pharisees and the leaders of that day that decide no action? Christ said it was lawful to do good. Verse 5, and he said, after looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and the hand was restored. And the Pharisees went out and immediately began conspiring with the Herodians against him as to how they might destroy him. Christ didn't show anger very much, but he did show anger at things. And one of the cases was on the Sabbath as an opportunity to help someone, and they did nothing. And they wouldn't even give him permission to do something about it. They remained silent. And that angered our Lord. That's an insight to his character. But it's also an insight of how he viewed the Sabbath as a blessing to each and every man, no matter where we were from. Continues on, verse 7, Jesus withdrew to the sea with his disciples, and a great multitude from Galilee followed, and also from Judea, and from Jerusalem, from Idumea, and beyond the Jordan to the vicinity of Tyre and Sidon. And a great number of people heard of all that he was doing and came to him. And he told his disciples that a boat should stand ready for him because of the crowd, so that they would not crowd him. For he had healed many, with the result that all those who had been afflicted pressed in around him in order to touch him. Whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they would fall down before him and shout, "You are the Son of God," and earnestly warned them not to tell who he was. Again, this is the Sabbath day. And even the demons, the evil spirits, are recognizing and proclaiming through this Sabbath day, that he was Lord. People were being healed. And Christ was traveling through the countryside, healing those, separating the evil spirits from them. And they were declaring that he was the Son of God, recognizing that relationship that we should be recognizing on the Sabbath as well. Only we have the opportunity to have a good relationship with him versus these unclean spirits that were not allowed and were pushed out. What an opportunity that we have. Another example in Luke 4. It says, "And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. The news about him spread throughout all the surrounding district, and he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the release to the captives and the recovery of the sight to the blind, and to free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, 'Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" There's so much in this scripture that not only applies to the Feast of Tabernacles, but it applies to the Sabbath day. Christ is declaring who he is, and he's telling us in the process, what was his custom? To gather together with the people of God on the Sabbath day. That was his custom. And to go into the synagogue, to teach, to hear his word read. That day, their customs were already pretty well established in the synagogue. They would hand the scriptures out and they would read them, and whoever got the blessing of reading the last scripture of the day, which in this case was Christ, he would read the scripture and then have the opportunity to expound upon it to the people, to give the sermon of the day in our terminology. And that's why everybody was looking at him, because he just read the scripture and then he went and sat down. They were ready for the explanation, the expounding, giving the opportunity to say what this all was about. And then he simply said to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So he was giving a pattern of what he did on the Sabbath day. We've seen him heal. We've seen him walk through the countryside. We see him provide restoration. He reads a scripture about what his goal is in life and on the Sabbath, to preach the gospel to the poor, proclaim the release to the captives, recovering sight to the blind, to free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. All these things on a Sabbath day. And then said, this is what his job is. And it's being fulfilled in the sight of those people. Not only did Christ have this habit, but his closest disciples and followers also did the same things. Here in Acts 13, after Christ had died, was resurrected, ascended into heaven, Paul and his companions are now doing what Christ did and mimicking what Christ did. So verse 13, it says, "Now Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But going on from Perga, they arrived at Pisidian, Antioch, And on the Sabbath, they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading of the law and the prophets, the synagogue officials said to them, saying, "Brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it." Paul stood up and, motioning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel, you who fear God, listen." And then he went into his sermon. Again, we have that same pattern, following Christ's example, assembling together with God's people on the Sabbath day in order to hear his word read and expounded. Acts 18, because it wasn't an isolated occurrence. Acts 18, verse 1. "And after these things, he left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy, and his wife Priscilla. Because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, he came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them. And they were working by trade, they were tent makers, and he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath, trying to persuade the Jews and the Greeks." So even under persecution, this was very important. So Paul, his companions, the other disciples, they followed the example that Christ did. And that should be our question. What does Christ do? What did Christ do? And how do we mimic it? How do we become like him? And that's part of the blessing of the Sabbath, is that he says, "I created it so you could have that time to contemplate, that time to become like him." And that reflects the Father. What a blessing. Acts 20. Verse 7. Now, a little background before we actually read this. There's a custom that came into play, which is a ceremony that takes place at the end of the Sabbath day. The Jews were good at putting traditions and stuff in place. And they would usher in the Sabbath with a special delineation, and they would usher the Sabbath out within a special delineation. So at the end of the Sabbath day, it was very common to gather together to break bread. And so that was officially, as we saw in Genesis, the day started at night and continued on through the day. So when nightfall came, the Sabbath was ended. And that was the time that they would celebrate the passing of the Sabbath and on to a new week. So in verse 7, we see this custom being implemented. "On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day. And he prolonged his message until midnight, and there were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And there was a young man named Eucalyptus sitting on the windowsill, sinking into a deep sleep." They probably had the dinner like you guys have eaten, and you're falling asleep. Thankfully, none of you are sitting in the window. Because Paul's not here. Anyway, it continues on. "And Paul kept on talking. He was overcome by sleep, and he fell down from the third floor and was picked up dead. But Paul went down and fell upon him, and after embracing him, he said to him, 'Do not be troubled, for his life is in him.' And when he had gone back up and broken the bread and eaten, he talked with them for a long while until daybreak, and then left. And they took away the boy alive, and they were greatly comforted." Again, a miracle of healing as the brethren gathered together to break bread after the Sabbath had ended, and they still were studying the scriptures. And Paul left the next day at daybreak, but he talked all night long. Another example of what Christ had talked about. As we already mentioned and we already saw in Isaiah, this is something that God promises will endure forever. It has a future. It has no end. There is a continue to be a rest that he created, a rest that he put together for us. So in Hebrews chapter 4, we'll start in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we've had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who had heard it. For we who have believed entered that rest, just as it said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundations of the world. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 6. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and for those who had formerly had the good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. Ancient Israel forgot. Ancient Israel didn't want to spend time with God. They wanted to pursue other things. They were constantly falling down. So God said, they're not going to enter the rest because of disobedience. The rest. He created a rest that was in him on that seventh day. A rest where we could know and become more like him on that seventh day. But beyond that, there is a tradition in the Jews and also in the churches of God, the 7,000 years of creation, 7,000 years of mankind, and that final 1,000 years is that millennial kingdom of God that we're celebrating this week as we're here. A true rest where there will be true compassion every day of the week, every day of the kingdom for 1,000 years, ruled by who other than the Lord of the Sabbath. So the Sabbath day is a continual reminder of our future in the kingdom, of a future reign of Christ on this earth for all mankind. What a wonderful picture that is. And while we have that picture this week, we should doubly have it today, tonight, tomorrow. But we get a picture of that every single week, a reminder of that. That not only of what God created as a memorial of all the things he created, a memorial of the things that he's done in our lives, of where he's brought us out of and where he's taking us, the real picture is of where he really is taking us, where he really is taking this world into a true rest of true justice, of true compassion, of true reign by the only one who could possibly do that, Jesus Christ, who created it all in the exact image that the Father had him do it. A true rest, a true fulfillment of that prophecy. Isaiah 58, verse 13, it says, if because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. What a promise. What powerful words in this. What blessings. What blessings. If we could take time out from doing our own things and spend it with God and delight in that time. Delight in that spending of time with him. Call it honorable. Honor it. Truly respect it. Because who are we respecting? We're respecting God in relationship with him and the time with him. He's going to take us to the heights of the earth. Wow. Powerful to think about. Isaiah 66, we've already read these verses, but I want to read them again. These are the verses that I would like to leave in your minds for the rest of this Sabbath day. Verse 22, for just as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, will endure before me, declares the Lord, so your offspring and your name will endure. And it shall be from new moon to new moon and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all mankind will come down before me, says the Lord. This will endure, and we can endure with it. So tonight we looked at a whole bunch of scriptures describing the Sabbath, and it's a powerful gift. It was initiated by God, prescribed by God. It's kind of a date night that he planned from before he even created men. It's an appointment with our God, a time to spend with him, to get to know him, and him to get to know us. It's a day of rest after doing labor, a day to take a break, an intermission, a time to have a special holiday with our God. This gift distinguishes us from the rest of the world, from all the nations of the world, from all the peoples of the world that take time out from pursuing whatever gives them power, whichever builds their wealth, whatever, to spend it on getting a true relationship with the development. It's our first opportunity to truly imitate God. We can rest as he rested and become like him. A testimony of what God is, in that he's an advocate for all those who are weary, all those that are heavy laden. He calls us all to him, and all can enjoy in those blessings. It's a memorial of his act of creation. It's also a memorial of his act of redemption. It's a sign, and it should be holy to us because we're holy to him. It's about preserving justice and doing righteousness, about blessings that come from keeping it and holding it. It will endure, just like the new heavens and the new earth. It will continue. We know that Christ is Lord of it. We know that he said it was lawful to do good on it. It was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. We know that Christ set a habit of assembling together on it, and Paul followed that example. It points to a future 1,000-year reign that will be the rest in Christ's kingdom. It is a delight. It is to be kept honorable, not for our ways, not for our words, not for our pleasure, but so we can pleasure in him. God gave us a blessing that's weekly. We have a double portion here this week. What a blessing. Let's truly remember all the things that God blessed us with in his Sabbath day.